Good morning, everyone. This morning we're continuing our series on awareness and omnipresence. And this time we're drawing from the practices of Saivasiddhanta for the benefit of those who aren't familiar with the practices of Saivasiddhanta. There's a short introduction. Nalupadasaivam literally means Saivism of four stages and is an alternate name for Saivasiddhanta. The concept of Nalupadasaivam directs our attention to the practices of Saivasiddhanta, which are the four padas of Charya, Kriya, Yoga, and Jnana. The University of Madras Dhamma Lexicon defines Nalupadasaivam as the doctrine that the initiate should pass successively through Charya, Kriya, Yoga, and Jnana stages, and then obtain moksha. Very much attuned there in Gurudeva's teachings, passing through Charya, Kriya, Yoga, and Jnana stages, and then obtain moksha. These four padas are quite similar to the four yogas of Vedanta: Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. However, there are key differences as well. In the following excerpt from Merging with Shiva, Gurudeva elaborates on the major similarities and the major differences between the four padas and the four yogas. Gurudeva: this eternal path is divided naturally into four separate categories. The Bhagavad Gita, the popular book which you all know from your studies in Vedanta, and which has made Hindu philosophy well known in America, defines these as four separate non-progressive paths called Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. In the Agamic scripture, these are defined a little differently and considered to be four stages of a progressive path, termed Charya, Kriya, Yoga, and Jnana. These are all Sanskrit terms. Entomal equivalents are Saryai, Kiriya, Yogam, and Jnanam. Gurudeva continues: according to the Agamic tradition, these four categories are the natural sequence of the soul's evolutionary process. Much like the development of a butterfly from egg to larva, from larva to caterpillar, from caterpillar to pupa, and then the final metamorphosis from pupa to butterfly. Every butterfly, without exception, will follow this pattern of development, and every soul will mature through Charya to Kriya, through Kriya to Yoga, and into Jnana. Charya or Karma Yoga may be simply defined as service. Kriya or Bhakti Yoga is devotion. Yoga or Raja Yoga is meditation, and Jnana is the state of wisdom reached toward the end of the path as a result of God realization, and the subsequent enlivened kundalini and unfoldment of the chakras through the practices of yoga. The soul does not move quickly from one stage to another. It is a deliberate process, and within each stage there exist vast libraries of knowledge, containing the sum of thousands of years of teachings unraveling that particular experiential vista. It's the end of Gurudeva's comparison there. As our subject is awareness and omnipresence, that's not really related to the first two padas, Charya and Kriya. So we're starting with the yoga pada, skipping Charya and Kriya. We're trying to show how awareness fits into the Yogapada. The Yogapada focuses on the regular practice of meditation, detachment, and austerities under the guidance of a Satguru, through whose grace we attain the realization of Parashiva. It has four stages. Charya and Yoga consists of cleaning the meditation room or portion of a room and collection of all the necessary substances for worshipping one's guru and deities relating to meditation. Kriya in yoga consists of offering a prayer, a chant, or a short puja to one's guru and the guru's lineage after beseeching the grace of any deities your guru has asked you to worship prior to meditation. Yoga and yoga consists of asana, proper meditation posture, pranayama, regulated breathing, pratyahara, sense withdrawal, dharana, concentration, dhyana meditation, in which one can experience a sustained state of awareness aware only of itself. Dhyana finally leads to ecstasy, first to Savakalpa Samadhi, the contemplative experience of Satchit Ananda, and ultimately to Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Parashiva. Jnana in yoga is the experiential knowledge gained by these practices. Tamil word for experiential knowledge is Anubhava Unarchi. The Yogapada is also called the Sakamarga, meaning way of the friend. For here the soul looks upon God as an intimate friend. The Patavi is Sarupya, likeness to God. Patavi is a technical term. Gurudeva doesn't use it. In Gurudeva's writings, he calls it the attainment. English just uses the English word attainment. So Patavi, the attainment, Patavi is Sarupya, likeness to God. Sundaramurti Nayanar is the Samyacharya who exemplifies the Yogapada. The Charya component of yoga has two general guidelines for conduct in addition to the specific activities to be performed in the meditation room. The Tirumandaram gives the first general guideline in verse 1465 and stating that Charya in yoga that deprives him of desires. Sabaratnam Shivacharya elaborates on this line. Charya in yoga, in which there is no place for self-centered and worldly ambitions, will lead to kriya in yoga. Looking at the Tamil words, ta kam means desire, and vittal means abandoning. The idea of abandoning desire is a description of the idea of dispassion, which can be defined as distaste or disgust for worldliness because of spiritual awakening. The basic approach of a yogi to dispassion is to hold the perspective that happiness does not come from people or possessions in the world, but rather from the depths of one's soul as experienced in meditation. Second general guideline is the idea of maintaining equanimity, which is defined as mental calmness, composure, and evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation. The Sarva Jnanyottara Agama Yogapada verse 4 gives this description. Keeping the mind balanced well when honored or abused, and in the same way when delighted or distressed, and having completely freed himself from being subject to excessive delight, fearfulness, and despondency, the sadhaka should repeatedly practice the disciplines of yoga. Two verses in the Tirumandaram mention experiencing inner light as a goal of yoga. Verse 1444 states, "Beholding the light of life is great yoga worship." Verse 1474 states, yoga in jnana is to envision the light of Nidanta. Sabaratnam Shivacharya's explanation reads, jnana with yoga is the discipline capable of leading the sadhaka to a higher state of Nidanta where he could see the transcendental light. Gurudeva gives this description of a yogi's experience of inner light. After his first Nirvikalpa Samadhi, the renunciate's concentration and his practice of concentration should be easier. Then finally, when his inner light, which he will soon find right at the top of the head, comes into prominence, he must turn his concentration onto that. And with enough mind power, he should be able to hold that inner light, a very bright white light, looking just like a star right at the top of the head. This will give him figures and conscious mind forms about 3 inches in diameter, and then he would concentrate the light into a 3-inch diameter. He may not always know where the center is, especially if he has been involved in his saiva-seva. If that is so, he should press the top of his head with his finger, and that will indicate to him where the center of that light should be. This will immediately center his awareness in the center of the light. Then he tries to part it, tries to open it up like a camera lens, and comes into brilliant, very brilliant light. It will just be scintillating, much brighter than a star. It will be like a carbon arc light. This is very brilliant and very powerful. The renunciate is then schooled in how to hold that to a 3-inch diameter, because the tendency will be for that light to fill up his whole head. He will feel very blissful. We don't want that to happen. We don't want the emotions or the lower mind to get out of control simply because he found a bright light in his head. So when he sees this brilliant light right in his head, more brilliant than he has ever seen, intensified brilliance, he tries to find the center of it. When he finds the center of it, again trying to open up that light like a camera lens, he will then come into a state of consciousness called Satchit-Ananda, a state of pure consciousness, a state of pure bliss, Savakalpa Samadhi. Here he won't be in a brilliant light anymore. Above him, it will look like he is looking way up in the sky into outer space. And the color of it will be a whitish blue. That will be the akasha he will be in. There are a few different approaches to meditation in the Yogapada. Gurudeva's approach involves first understanding awareness as separate from consciousness. So then it repeats what we've looked at before. Awareness and consciousness need to be separated. We won't repeat that. A second perspective in Gurudeva's approach to meditation involves the concept of awareness aware only of itself, which in the Shumchef language is named Kaif. In the Yogapada, the goal is to practice sustaining the experience of awareness aware only of itself for longer and longer periods. Gurudeva, to attain and sustain Kaif is a simple practice. You pull awareness out of the thought processes. You pull awareness out of the emotion processes. You pull awareness out of the bodily processes. And you're just completely on the pinnacle of being aware of being aware. That's so necessary to practice every day, even if you do it for a split second. Experience of Kaif can be attained by anyone on the face of the earth, at least for a split second, because it's so easy to be aware of being aware. To hold that experience and to stabilize the physical and emotional elements long enough to hold that intensity for even a minute takes more practice. Not too much, but consistent practice. To maintain Kaif for 2 minutes requires more effort, more will, more dedication to the life of sadhana. 5 minutes requires even more. That's the test. Each pada causes an additional maturation of the soul to take place. Gurudeva gives this description of the maturation that takes place in the Yogapada. The yogi strives with a diligence and energy he never knew he possessed, with a dedication he once thought impossible, and as he strives, his willpower is awakened. Finally, one day in his first Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he penetrates to the essence of being. In this ultimate experience, which remains forever beyond description, he has reached the union which is yoga. Returning from this state of ineffable fulfillment, the devotee brings back into his life a new understanding, a new perspective. He is never the same after that experience. He can never again look at life in the same way. Each time he enters into that God realization, that Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he returns to consciousness more and more the knower. His knowing matures through the years as his yoga sadhana is regulated. And as it matures, he enters ever so imperceptibly into the fourth and final stage of unfoldment, into jnana. To the meditating yogi, darshan is more than a communication radiating out to him from an external god or Mahadeva. It is a radiant light shining from the sanctum sanctorum of his own Sahasrara chakra. Worship for him becomes completely internal as he follows that light, that darshan, seeking to know its source. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.